Shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And it's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch. And this radio show goes places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. We're at your service here at 877-876-PHIL. I give that number out proudly and lovingly because the phone system has been repaired. Hey. We did have a technical problem last night. It has been absolutely fixed by our friends at the phone company, so thank you. So we will take your calls tonight, and we'll have a full show. We are also online with a live streaming video of our show. It's called Phil TV in HD. There I am. We're broadcasting from our sewer studio this evening, although we have a number of different slides that we show you throughout the broadcast, and we also have an outdoor camera toward the El Pacifico so you can see the roiling and rolling surf of the Pacific. Now, a lot of stuff to get to in terms of the news tonight. A reminder, though, that we are giving away a free backstage pass. That is a free subscription 1 month to our website. You can listen to everything on the website, and that is thousands. You won't be able to listen to all of it. You won't be able to listen to all of it. Thousands of hours, thousands of full shows on our website, including our daily podcast, including our archived, our five-day video archive, our daily video cast. You can win a free backstage pass. All you have to do is either go to our Twitter account, which is twitter.com/PhilHendryShow, and hashtag Phil Hendry, there, or like our fan page at Facebook, facebook.com/PhilHendryFans, spelled P-H-A-N-S, Phil Hendry Fans, spelled P-H-A-N-S. And we'll be doing that drawing toward the end of the month, and a lucky listener, you know.
Yeah, some lucky listener.
Some lucky listener will get a free BSP baby in the month of February, which we have designated as Phil History Month. So get your...
Don't mean no disrespect to black people, but it's Phil History Month, too.
Right, right. We're not... We'll ask questions that...
Ask some questions about, like, if you dated a black girl. Man, don't be a smartass.
I was going to say, don't be a smartass, bud. I know what I'm doing. All right, this is a very important story, and we're going to have with us here Don... Mixa from the University of Washington, and it goes something like this. John Huntsman, who is running for president, is a former ambassador to the country of China, and apparently is upset because Ron Paul supporters called him a Manchurian candidate in a YouTube video that they produced. Now, Manchurian Candidate was a film made in the late 1950s, early 60s, I forget when. And it's about some soldiers returning from the Korean War, where it develops one or two or some, I don't remember, were kidnapped by the Chinese and were brainwashed. And were brainwashed into being deep cover type agents. You can well imagine there have been other scenarios, other fantastical scenarios where they, you know, brainwash a cat and he goes into the society and suddenly on a particular... Oh, I don't know, code word, he wakes up and, you know, blows up bridges and stuff. So Manchurian Candidate was a film that starred Lawrence Harvey and Frank Sinatra, and it had that scenario. And I forget who was the Manchurian Candidate.
Probably Frank Sinatra, because he would have demanded that in the contract.
Yeah, whatever, okay. So, yeah, Frank Sinatra, because he would have demanded it in his contract to be the Manchurian Candidate. Anyway, we have on the line here Don Mixa. What we're going to talk about... this guy, John Huntsman, the candidate, Don, you are a very well-known progressive professor there at the University of Washington, and I know you're at a book fair tonight?
It is our first annual book fair, Phil, the Progressive Teacher Alliance book fair, that's correct.
Anyway, well, in any event, welcome to the program.
It's a pleasure to be here.
And did you see the video at all?
I haven't seen the video, no. I only know of its the existence of the video because of the news reports, and I know the comments that were made.
Well, the story is that I have here in the Concord Monitor. This is the New Hampshire newspaper, which obviously is, to some extent, a paper of record these days, since the New Hampshire primary is in the offing. John Huntsman doesn't much like a YouTube video apparently posted by Ron Paul supporters that calls the former Utah governor and ambassador to China a Manchurian candidate in the Republican presidential race. The video, John Huntsman's Values, was posted Wednesday by NH Liberty for Paul, a username created the same day. No other videos are posted under that username. The video features clips of Huntsman speaking Mandarin and images of his adopted daughter, Gracie Mei, M-E-I, from China, and Asha Bharati from India, with text including, "The Manchurian Candidate, American Values or Chinese?" and "China John's Daughters Even Adopted?" question mark. You got a comment?
Well, I can tell you this. It doesn't come as any surprise to any progressive or any liberal voter that this is the type of tactic that would be engaged in by the far-right candidacy of Ron Paul. The best thing that we can do on our side of the political equation is to not do anything, is to not say anything, because I think to involve ourselves. But I would simply say that... this is good news because what it does is it exposes, I think, Ron Paul and his supporters for the extreme thinkers that they are. And but if in remaining silent, and we also do not want to lend credibility to anything that these people say, but we certainly do at the same time want to encourage them. So that's our challenge.
And now, what do you mean?
Well, I think the challenge of any progressive voter is if when you see something like this happen, you don't want to go out and vocally say, "I condemn that," because then it makes you look as if you're a John Huntsman supporter. I'm not a John Huntsman supporter by any stretch of the imagination. He's a Republican, but we do want to say something about it. Because in saying something about it, we want to inspire more of these videos. You see what I'm saying? So the challenge is, how do we keep more...
You want these videos to keep coming?
Well, of course. I mean, anybody who is on my side of the political equation, of course we want to see more of these videos, because the more they come out, the more they make the people that originated them look like the imbeciles that they are, you know. And so I have to tell you, it's for us, it's a very mixed blessing.
All right, we're talking here with Don Mixa from the University of Washington at a book fair tonight for your teacher or professor student alliance.
That is great. We have a progressive faculty student alliance here at the University of Washington that I am very humbled to say I founded, and I continue to, in many ways, I continue to breathe life into it, because we have been hounded by the conservative elements here on campus as well. But let me just say this, Phil. Even as I'm at this book fair tonight, when I get this news about the Ron Paul supporters and their attack on John Huntsman, it is good news. It's difficult to say that, but it is good news.
All right, well, when you say it's good news, what you're basically saying is the more stupid things that come out of the Ron Paul camp, the better. But, you know, Ron Paul is a marginal candidate, and so it's not necessarily going to make him appear... You know, what difference does it make if you drum him out of the race? He's always going to have these supporters.
Well, I think what it does, it marginalizes him. It continues to marginalize him. He's never going to have a mainstream base of support. That's number one. Number two, I think if it is just Ron Paul, it is still coming from the Republican side, this racist, this very racially informed kind of criticism, where a guy can't even adopt a Chinese girl without somebody making fun of you. I think it makes the individuals that support, frankly, the Republican Party, it makes them look like... And my daughter used a phrase that I would never use, but I thought it was interesting because it came from, you know, as they say, out of the mouths of babes, when she said that it makes them look like booger eaters.
And booger eaters? The
Republicans that engage in this kind of thing, yeah. And I think that, you know, if we can get ourselves past the obvious, obviously distasteful description there, Phil, I think in a lot of ways, it is the perfect description. The Republican Party, the conservatives, continue to act like the booger eaters of American politics. And
well, it's a little bit of name-calling there, Don.
I don't think so, Phil.
No, it's a little bit of name-calling. It's a little juvenile, and it engages in the very same thing In my opinion, that these fools that do these videos... Now, let's take a look at this John Huntsman video so that we know what we're talking about. It's a video that was made by people who purport to be Ron Paul supporters, calling him a Manchurian candidate, meaning he's some kind of a spy, you know.
Yes, that's correct.
It's a video that mocks his adopted daughters. Now, that's a pretty low blow, talking about American values or Chinese... But then it does something that I think is even more asinine. It finds it suspicious, or these people find it suspicious, that John Huntsman can speak Mandarin Chinese.
Well, that right there shows a level of intelligence that's not very high. But if you're going to be the ambassador to China and you speak Chinese, that's a plus. That's not a drawback. If you've got a guy that's going to be president of the United States and he doesn't understand that it's a good thing to have an ambassador to China that speaks Chinese, I think you've made a big mistake in selecting the president of the United States. And we have to, at this point, always ask ourselves how much of these points of view are shared by Ron Paul.
Now, Ron, to be fair, Ron Paul has condemned this video.
Well, yeah, sure he did. You know,
well, hold on for a minute.
No, I don't want to hear it. I'm telling you, Phil, I don't want to hear it. I've heard it over and over again that Ron Paul condemns this, Ron Paul condemns that, but the stuff keeps coming out.
Well, hold on for a minute. I think it's the nature of the man's campaign and the nature of the kind of supporters that he has fostered, where he allows his supporters to speak whatever, you know, whatever truth they want to speak, and I don't think that it... I don't think it necessarily reflects what he believes.
I think that is very convenient for Ron Paul to say. I think it's very convenient to say, oh, I would never in a million years would I ever support this. I'm not buying it at all. I think what you've got here is a presidential candidate, ladies and gentlemen, who thinks it's bad to have an ambassador to China that speaks Chinese. Believes that the fact that he's been in China makes him some kind of a threat to the U.S. people, that he's going to come over here and wake up from his, as you mentioned, Phil, some deep hypnotic sleep and begin to blow up bridges, and that his daughters are adopted, and somehow that means he's got Chinese values. I think Ron Paul's got a lot to answer for.
Well, again, and I have to be fair, Ron Paul has condemned this video, as he did condemn the writings that appeared in his various newsletters years ago. And I will take the guy at his word. I will be suspicious, I suppose, of anyone that would allow that kind of writing to appear in any newsletter with his name on it. I got to be honest with you. If you're going to use a man's name, say this is New Hampshire for Phil Hendry, and here is a video where we make fun of a man's Chinese kids. I would at least say, would you please take my name off of that, all right, we have on the line with us Don Mixa. He's from the University of Washington. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. Are these videos reflective of Ron Paul's beliefs? I know he's denying it, but we have these videos, or we have this one video, we have these writings. He's also denied that those are reflective of his beliefs, but still in all, folks, they exist. There seems to be a unending supply of this kind of offensive material. 877-876-PHIL, back with Don Mixa here on the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. The Phil Hendry Show. On the line with me is Don Mixa from the University of Washington. As we talk here about, and we just lost the line there, bud, so let's pull that back up. Don Mixa from the University of Washington, as we talk here about this video, I should say. And Don, are you with us?
I'm right here, Phil, yeah.
Okay, we're discussing this video that Ron Paul supporters posted that attack him for being a Manchurian candidate, that attack him for having Asian daughters, that attack him for knowing Mandarin Chinese. I think that you guys released a statement earlier in the day where you were talking about everyone knows the Chinese are funny or something like that?
No. I didn't say what we said was, Phil, and you know what I would appreciate, we don't want to be misrepresented the way that we want people to know how we feel. We don't want some of these idiots talking for us. I said, and I think it's an opinion held by you know, a lot of Americans, that the Chinese or the Japanese or what have you, you know, you can find, you can make a case for how funny they may talk or how funny they may look or how funny they may do a lot of things, but to come out in public and to say that, to come out in public and to say, hey, this guy's got Chinese daughters.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. But so you agree with these attitudes?
No, I most certainly do not agree with these attitudes. I do not believe that there is a Manchurian candidate case to be made about John Huntsman. I do not believe.
What about your comments, though, that the Chinese are funny looking, or?
No, I didn't say that. Hold on, Phil. Slow down.
you didn't say that they were funny looking?
No, I did not say that. I said, in American, if I can just back up here.
Go ahead.
I said, in American culture, it is very common for us to find it humorous to look at the Chinese or the Japanese and to make the jokes. And you've heard the jokes. I heard this young lady who had the video that was posted at UCLA, and it was very tasteless. But, you know, she was saying...
This was that woman that was this female student that was talking about the Asians that live in her dormitory.
Yeah, she was saying, oh, Chongqing Cha, if you remember the...
Yeah, I remember that one. Yeah, she sounded like an imbecile.
She sounded like an imbecile. Okay, she sounded like an imbecile. But what I'm saying is that she... what I'm trying to say is everyone knows that you're going to find a moment in your day when you see a Chinese or Japanese person, or you may think of a Chinese or Japanese person, and you may think, you don't act on it, you don't do anything to encourage it in others, but you may think of a Asian face with the very stereotypical buck teeth and the round, you know, horn-rimmed glasses, and you may find that amusing in and of yourself. Now, that's a far cry from me going out and saying it to people, hey, I just saw a buck-toothed Japanese guy. He was really funny. Why don't you come to my house and I'll show you pictures? And who knows? I may have pictures, and I may have an entire library with the walls that are covered with pictures of a buck-toothed Japanese individual.
All right, but what is the point you're making here? Are you saying...
The point I'm making...
Are you saying that there is... that as long as you keep that quiet, you're better than the Huntsman people? It's not the Huntsman people.
It's the Ron Paul people are the ones with the video.
Yeah, are you better than the Ron Paul people who come right out? And they didn't even say anything that crass.
What they said was far more crass. What they said was far more crass.
You think what the Ron Paul video saying that John Huntsman is a Manchurian candidate, that John Huntsman is suspicious because he knows Mandarin Chinese, and that he has Chinese values because his daughters are Asian, you think that's worse than mocking Asians for having what you call the stereotypical buck teeth?
I absolutely believe that, yeah. I mean, if I engage in some kind of humor where I say, I have a very dear friend, he is a Chinese professor, he teaches he teaches two of our physics classes and to our freshmen, and I say that I have a very good friend, Dr. King, who is our physics professor, and he sometimes sounds like this when he teaches class, all tong, ching, tong, tong, you know, like that, and I'm making people laugh. That's got nothing to do with me being a racist. That's just me making fun of the way he sounds. But I'm not coming on YouTube. And
that's just you making fun of the way he sounds, but that's not being a racist.
No, it is not. And just hear me out, Phil, okay? Because I think there's a tendency to jump all over people. I'm talking about something that's really serious, and that's Ron Paul calling Huntsman a Manchurian candidate.
Okay, so Ron Paul didn't do it.
No, I don't believe that.
Well, Ron Paul's supporters call him a Manchurian candidate, but you say of a Chinese professor, Chung Ching Chao Chang, that's not as bad. Ron Paul's people are worse because they are accusing a guy of being a bad American.
That's exactly what I'm saying, and I think that's what has to stop. And I am not a racist, and no one's going to call me a racist because, first of all, Ron Paul's people screwed up. They're the ones that are making these videos and taking all the heat off of anybody like myself who might make an innocent joke about a Chinese guy with an overbite.
All right, well, I don't know if that's the case or not. We're talking to Don Mixa, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. When's Ron Paul going to lasso these supporters of his? And are they all that racist calling John Huntsman a Manchurian candidate? Here's Don Mixa, a prominent progressive who thinks it's funny the Chong Chang Kang jokes. We'll be back. Phil Henry Show. World famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. And with us is Don Mixa from the University of Washington on a videotape released by so-called supporters of Ron Paul today that accuse John Huntsman. And I know a lot of people don't know who he is, but he's running for president. He's a Republican candidate. And these Ron Paul supporters in New Hampshire accuse him of being some kind of a Manchurian candidate. I don't know that people really know what a Manchurian candidate is.
We are trying to educate people, Phil, to that, and it's not easy. When you have people like Ron Paul and these other far-right candidates, and I have been personally attacked myself. And
but the attacks, when you call them attacks, they're questions, though, Don, you know.
Well, what do you mean they're questions?
You were cited in the student newspaper up there. You're living with one of your students who is, I believe, of age.
Yeah, she most certainly is of age. Yes, she is, sir. And I think that was the confusion. Somebody said she was 17 and a half. She is going to be 18 in June. She is a student, technically a student here and at the high school, but
That's underage.
She is not underage as long as she is attending classes here at the university, and that's what you don't understand, and that's what many of these people don't understand. I'm not singling you out, Phil, but we've got a lot of people that think they understand how it is. And
if you're living with a woman who is a girl who is 17 and a half, and she's not yet 18, it doesn't matter if she's going to college or not.
Yes, it does. Otherwise, it would be a violation of the law that she's attending classes here, and I had her move in with me. Now, this is exactly the kind...
You had her move in with you, did she?
Yes, she wanted to. No, I didn't kidnap her. She's living with me. See, you immediately want to sidetrack the discussion and talk about my life and my choices and my lifestyle choices.
No, I don't. I don't want to do that. You brought up the fact that you were attacked or otherwise you were, you know what I'm saying? That people were bringing up your life and saying that you are, you have no right to criticize because look at how you live. You brought that up.
Yes, but I don't want to belabor the point. Here is the point, Phil. The point is that Ron Paul has smeared John Huntsman. He's not a man that I support. I'm a progressive. I'm a Democrat and a progressive. But I'm here trying to defend him anyway against these attacks by these right-wingers. And I get, in return, people directing questions at me about my own personal life. This is my private life. This is my private time. I don't think anybody has the right to stick a camera or a tape recorder in my bedroom or in my bathroom or any place that I consider sacrosanct.
I'm sorry to have to interrupt you, Don.
No, I know. You're like a broken record, though, like a lot of these people.
No, you haven't made a case yet that if you're living with a girl who is 17 and a half, and because she's in college, you say there's nothing illegal about what you're doing.
Well, first of all, there would be nothing illegal about what I was doing. I have her mother's consent. Okay.
Do you have her mother's consent to have relations with her?
I'm not going to make any comment. See, again, this is what I'm saying. You stick a microphone or a camera into my bedroom, into my bathroom, on my person, in areas of my life or on my body that no one, and I mean no one, not even a woman that I was intimate with would ever be allowed to look at or see or go near. You understand what I'm saying? So this is pretty private. And yet, that's what you're doing.
I don't see it.
You don't see it?
No, I don't see it. I don't think it's an inappropriate question. I think if I ask you, are you living with a woman, and you say she's 17 and she is a person of, you know, she's in college, so that makes it okay. I have her mother's permission. You don't tell me, do you have her mother's permission to have sex with her? I don't even think.
That is an asinine comment, Phil.
All right, okay, but I don't think that you, say what you want, but I don't think even if you had her permission, you'd be allowed to do that. 877-876-PHIL. Now, later on in the show, Margaret Gray is going to be joining us. She's calling us from Santa Monica. Margaret, how are you doing?
Well, I'm all right, Phil. I had a question, though. I know that I was scheduled to be on your program a little bit later on, but I do have a question here for, it's Dr. Mixer?
It's Professor Mixer, yes, ma'am.
Well, I'm curious. I was in college myself at one time. I did have a relationship with a professor at the time, and I found it to be one that was not satisfactory. I was used. And eventually I was really just thrown out of his life. And so I have anger about that. Do you fear that you will make a woman out of the girl you're living with so angry by throwing her from your life that she will seek some kind of revenge?
I don't know what the lady's talking about here.
Well, Margaret, what do you mean?
What I mean is this. I was living with a professor of geography at the University of Pennsylvania when he decided he was going to go back to his wife. And let's just say that I took my revenge on the man, and I'm wondering if this man here fears the same thing happening to him.
Well, I if you're talking about something violent, no, I do not.
I am not talking about something violent. But I am talking about something that would put fear into you.
All right, Margaret, you're really, to me, it sounds like you're encouraging it, okay?
No, I'm not encouraging it, Phil. I'm simply saying that when you play with a young woman's heart, you know, as Shakespeare is often, we're often reminded by Shakespeare, you know, hell hath no fury like a woman scorned.
Yes, I know all about the Shakespeare quote, God Almighty. Yeah.
Well, you know something, sir? I put fear into this man for playing with my heart the way he did.
What did you do?
Well, I'll tell you, and I can assure you it will frighten you. I'm not saying that I was mentally sound at the time. I will tell you that I was emotionally very distraught.
What did you do?
I broke into his home.
Did you destroy his furniture?
I broke into his home, and I defecated on his furniture.
Well, I think...
Good Lord.
I think you needed a doctor. I think you need a psychiatrist. I think if you still think that way, you need a psychiatrist.
But doesn't that frighten you?
I am not going to comment one way or the other on whether that frightens me or not. I think you need a psychiatrist.
Well, I don't do it anymore, Professor Mixer. So I'm asking you, does that frighten you? I'm not that girl anymore.
I am. I'm not going to make a comment.
You don't even want to comment if that girl did that to you.
If that woman did that to me, I would call the police and a psychiatrist.
Does it frighten you?
I'm not going to talk to this woman anymore.
All right, Margaret, thank you very much for your call. You've said enough and you've made enough comments that I think we can just let that go.
That is a very disturbed woman right there. You know.
Well, she's bringing up the idea of living with a young woman, a college student, and is it something that eventually you're going to wind up paying for?
That you're asking me questions about a relationship that I have with a young woman who
is 17 and is, living with you on a college campus, and you seem to think it's legal because she's underage, but she's
going to college. She's going to college. She's going to college. C-O-L-L-E-G-E. That means she's not a high school student. She's a woman in college. Do you understand? And the caller that you just had on, talking about defecating on a man's furniture, I think that is, she's encouraging. If that young woman is listening to the show right now.
The young woman that you're living with?
Yes. And she is of a mind, she will.
All right. 877-876-PHIL. That was a sick, twisted story. Wow. 877-876-PHIL. Don Mixa with us talking about the inappropriateness of the Ron Paul supporters' video. But here he's living with a young lady, 17 years of age, on campus. He's one of his students. And meanwhile, we just had Margaret Gray call in with something from her past that was unbelievable. 877-876-PHIL. Maybe Don Mixa ought to be paying more attention to what's happening on campus at the University of Washington and less attention to what's happening in New Hampshire. The world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. We'll be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. World-famous Phil Henry Show.
What she did is she put fear into me, yeah.
All right, we're back here with Don Mixa, the professor from University of Washington. Don is he's the chairman of a faculty-student progressive alliance. They're having a book fair this evening, and we're talking to him about the video that was released by Ron Paul supporters in New Hampshire that alleges John Huntsman to be a Manchurian candidate and so forth. This is really more of something that hurts Ron Paul than it would, let's say, John Huntsman or even the people that produced the video. So why would why wouldn't we think that perhaps it's some kind of a conspiracy coming from the left?
I was waiting for that, Phil.
I'm not saying it is, but...
I was waiting for that. I think I think in the days to come you're going to hear that. I think you'll hear that from Ron Paul supporters, and you'll hear it from Ron Paul that the left is probably doing it or this or that. And maybe, because I don't think anybody on that, who would think that anyone on the right would be that crafty or tricky, I guess. But no, I think it's, the thing that I think is really without precedent in my experience is for you to allow that woman on the air to talk about going into a professor's apartment that she knew and doing what she described that she did all over his furniture. And
you did admit that it did frighten you.
Of course it frightened me. It would frighten any man. It would frighten any man to have a young 17, 18-year-old woman who idolized you. And when you tell her that it's time for you to move on, you're going back to your wife or you're moving on with your life or whatever you're doing, she turns into some kind of a thing from hell. Yes, sir, it would frighten me.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Let's go to Eric. Eric, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, sir.
Hi.
Yes,
I'm actually a former New York State chair of an organization called Young Americans for Liberty, and we're a pretty prominent liberty-minded organization in the United States. And I'm also a Ron Paul supporter. And I happen to tune into the show. Actually, I'm in the car right now on my way to New Hampshire, of all places. And I have to say that, I've heard a lot of the chatter within the liberty movement and within a lot of Ron Paul supporters. I'm pretty well in tune with that scene nationally. And I have to say, most of us are pretty disgusted. I haven't heard anybody say they like that ad. And I know personally for me, I mean, it's gross and it's disgusting and racism is abhorrent. And at the same time, look, if someone can speak Chinese, that's all beneficial for someone to be president who can speak multiple languages. So I think this is really,
I'd like to ask the young man. Can I ask the young man a question, Bill?
Go ahead.
Yes, sir. I think what you just said is very intelligent. Why isn't Ron Paul saying this? What you just said was very articulate, and I think articulates a very good point of view. Why isn't Ron Paul saying, I would like to have an ambassador that could speak Chinese? I think it's good to have to adopt children.
Sure.
But I don't hear that from Ron Paul. I hear Mr. Hendry's listeners calling in and talking to me about some girl.
Well, that was one caller. Go ahead, Eric.
Yeah, well, thanks for asking the question. What I'd have to say is, gotta ask Ron Paul. I'm not Ron Paul. I don't speak for him. I'm supportive of his policies. But with a question like that, he would be the person to speak to, not me.
So what I gather from Ron Paul and his supporters is on the issues, you want to know what he has to say. But in terms of his personal views vis-a-vis human beings, and you that's not interesting to you. I don't understand that.
Well,
I didn't say that. And if you actually go ahead. Don't interrupt.
I wanted to just ask you, Eric. This is Phil. So you know what he stands for on all the big issues. Then we have these sort of gray areas between issues. I guess we could call it politics with a small p. You know, what do you think of a man that would say another man's a Manchurian candidate because he happened to live in China? Do you have any feelings about that? Not you, but Ron Paul. Do you have any feelings about that, the level of intelligence that would take? You know, that to you, that's not important.
What do I ask him the question about the woman that defecated all over the man's apartment?
That's got nothing to do with the issue we're talking about, though. I'm talking about this particular issue. You know what I'm saying, Eric?
I don't know who made that video, but it's not intelligent, and it's downright kind of stupid,
right.
Actually.
Okay. All right, Eric, thank you for your call.
Can I ask
you
one more question?
Go ahead. Thanks, guys.
Eric, this is Professor Mexi. Can I ask you one more question?
Sure, go ahead.
A woman called the show here moments ago and said she videoed herself defecating in a man's apartment.
Mm-hmm.
And she brought that up. Because she didn't want to talk about Ron Paul or John Huntsman. She wanted to smear me personally. Now, what would Ron Paul have to say about that?
Well, it's not appropriate to bring that up in a radio show. I mean, I don't know what he would say about that, but he's a pretty reasonable, sound person, and I know what I would.
It wasn't your apartment.
No, but she was threatening to do it in my apartment.
No, she wasn't. She was saying she did it to it.
What he would say is that's criminal, and it's an invasion of property rights. And that legal action be taken against that woman.
Right. That's a good point. But that woman would say, but he dumped me and went back to his wife and a lot of stuff that's really irrelevant.
Well, this is a very interesting conversation. So all the emotional colors that go with the dumping of a woman you don't want to talk about, you want to be right down the line here in terms of law, like any good libertarian. Anyway, Eric, thanks for your call. 877-876-PHIL.
No, wait, hold on for a minute. I'm not a libertarian, Phil, okay?
Well, you sound like one there. Well, you know, I mean, it's against the law, and we're just going to have to deal with her. Let's go over here to another caller, 877-876-7445. Here is Donald on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, Donald.
Hi, Phil. Long time, first time.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I would like to know the moral integrity of the Ron Paul backers who, it's almost like molestation of 17-year-old people. I mean, women, men, who knows? But there's justification for that. It's not right.
What is this gentleman?
He's talking about you living with that girl.
She's a college student, sir, so it's...
College,
it's perfectly fine.
Maybe she jumped a couple grades, but 17-year-old college student doesn't make her an adult.
And, she's living on campus.
She was libertarian, conservative, whatever.
Right.
He's not going anywhere. If you justify yourself with a 17-year-old,
well, Ron Paul's done. You know that, right? He's done.
I'm a high school teacher.
Okay, sir.
And what are you?
Ron Paul's done. I'm a college professor, and that's correct. So I think I've got a little bit more going for me.
A little bit more. Experience.
Whoa, hold on. Let's not get personal here, okay?
No, I'm not getting personal.
Relations with a 17-year-old person, daughter, girl.
Well, I mean, she needed a place to live, and she's living in the...
You had relations with her.
No, I didn't say that. I said that she's legal if I was that desperate, but I'm not.
She's legal.
She's living in a college community. Drinking at the, I don't know what she does, but I wouldn't get involved with her only because I don't want to have happen to me what that other woman did. I don't know if you heard.
What are you in, sir? What political affiliation?
I am if I tell you, now you're going to hold it against all of them.
He's a Democrat.
Absolutely.
You know what? I wish that you had not said that.
Well, that's what you are. You came on the program. You said you're a Democrat and a progressive.
That is true, but I didn't want him to know.
Democrat, progressive.
Yes, sir.
Polygamy, Democratic, too?
I think it is. Very democratic.
If their parents say it's okay, you can, like, take them, too?
Well, if you're interested, I can send you a brochure. I don't know what he's talking about.
I think what the gentleman is trying to make the point.
No, I don't know what you're talking about. It sounds to me like you're interested in it.
The moral integrity of your party, whoever you're backing up, whatever you're doing, sir,
Well, I'm saying to you that I would never get involved with her just because I'd be afraid of what would happen, like that other lady said she'd do.
Why is there a subject?
Because I'm being attacked by it. Because I said what I said about Ron Paul, people attacked me because I got a 17-year-old broad. Excuse my saying that. A 17-year-old woman. Who I said woman.
No, you said broad. You said broad.
I corrected myself and I said woman.
17-year-old girl.
No, I said 17-year-old. I said.
You said
woman.
Broad.
No, I don't think so.
Yes, you did. You said broad. I heard you say broad.
All right, so I said that I crap on my furniture if you don't.
All right, hold on for a minute. Donald, thank you. 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-7445. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Oh, God.
Phil Henry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
And welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch on this here show. And we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. Now, tomorrow night, we are live only in Los Angeles on radio, but we are live on our video cast tomorrow night for all of you, all backstage pass holders, all of you listening to me right now, if you want to enjoy the show tomorrow evening, our Saturday night show, when we do a Saturday night show, you can become a backstage pass holder and watch us live on video. Just go to philhenryshow.com and get a backstage pass and watch us perform the show. Also, if you'd like to get a free backstage pass, we're giving one away every month. In February, we're giving one away. And so to do that, you hashtag the name Phil Hendry at our Twitter site, Phil Hendry Show. That's twitter.com/Phil Hendry Show. Or like our fan page at Facebook, facebook.com/Phil Hendry Fans, PHANS. And you can like that page and you enter automatically into a drawing for a free backstage pass, which gives you a free month of the world famous Phil Hendry Show video. Margaret Gray is going to join us this hour. She's also going to be with us last hour because we are creating a couple of little what we call production aids for our radio show that she's going to be a part of. Talking this hour about her son, Jason J. Delmonico, who was appearing in a very pivotal movie of the week, or I believe a Lifetime film series. And to give us a little more information on this, because there was this conflict between her son and not really the conflict, Margaret, between your son and anybody. It was a conflict between you and the mother of another student.
Well, I wouldn't even call it a conflict, Phil. It was certainly not a conflict for me. When I talked to Martha Sherry, who was the mother of Deanna Sherry, this poor girl that was diagnosed with cancer, I had asked her, and I knew that she was going to make this announcement to the class that Deanna was in the hospital and that she was going to be treated for this cancerous condition.
What type of cancer?
I think it was leukemia. I'm not sure. It was either a tumor or it was a blood disease. I have to be honest with you, Phil. At the very same week, as you just indicated, Jason J. Delmonico, my son, was in the running for a very, very important part in a historical drama that was being filmed by the Lifetime Channel. And so you can understand that my attention was drawn to my son and what it was that he was going to be challenged by.
Okay.
So I asked Martha if she would not put off the announcement of her daughter and her daughter being in the hospital. And she said to me, why? And I said, because my son this week has been enjoying the support of the class. The teachers have written a couple of pieces of dialogue for him to practice on. The other students have volunteered to help him with a scene. And there have been, there's just been a wonderful outpouring of support for Jason J. Delmonico. If she comes forward and makes this announcement about her daughter having cancer, it feel like it logically is going to take some of the attention away from Jason J. Now, I know that cancer is much more serious than my son being challenged for a part in a television show.
Yes.
But I also know that the young lady's condition, and I want to be very careful how I say this, because I'm a mother, Phil, and I understand any mother who is suffering with this with a child, believe me. But her condition is not necessarily going to end tomorrow. I would imagine, and I said this to her mother, and this caused a problem, and I said to the school at some point, when do you get a break? When are people going to quit looking for the worst? But I said to her mother, I said, you don't know how long it's going to take.
Oh, you didn't say that.
I didn't say what?
You don't know how long what's going on. Are you assuming that this child is going to die?
No, I did not say that at all, Phil. I said, and I am a mother, and I'm sensitive to these things. I said to her, Jason J's call is tomorrow. It was a Thursday. He has to be on set tomorrow.
Right.
Well, her daughter had just been diagnosed with this condition, leukemia, I believe it was. So she's not going to die tomorrow.
That is very insensitive. I'll tell you why.
No, it is not insensitive, Phil. You don't need to tell me why.
Well, if you say your daughter's not going to die tomorrow, you know...
I didn't say that, Phil. Will you please listen to me? I said the condition that this child has is not going to be cured tomorrow.
Well, what did you say to her?
That's exactly what I said to her.
So the condition that your child has is not going to be cured tomorrow. So therefore what? Would you hold off on making this announcement?
Would you please hold off, yes, on announcing to the class and to the teacher and the teacher's assistant that Deanna has this cancerous condition. And I didn't know, I didn't remember. I was, a little frazzled myself, and she said to me, no, it is something, something. I think it was lymphoma. And I said, well, excuse me, but I have other priorities. So
what I'm hearing you say...
I'm not finished yet, Phil. Hold on.
All right.
I said to her, I have other priorities. I'm sorry. And she said, fine, but we are not going to hold off on the announcement. The class needs to know. The teachers need to know. Well, to make a long story short, my son had been assisted by the other students, had been assisted by the teacher, but as soon as he found out that this young lady, Deanna Sherry, had cancer, everyone in the class, suddenly their attention was turned to her. No one was really giving him much attention at all. He blew the audition. He didn't get the part. We are now day five. He hasn't come out of his room. Okay, does this sound good?
No, it doesn't.
He is desperately depressed. And just about a half an hour ago, when I said to him, Jason, darling, do you want to come out and have some ice cream or a snack? And he told me his mother, the woman that almost died giving birth to him, to go to hell.
That's a boy that is not only despondent over not getting his part in his movie, but he has no ability to deal with, bad times.
No, Phil, don't go down that old road, okay?
No, wait a minute. What are you? You're asking me a question here.
No, but don't go down that. Oh, he doesn't have it. Yes, he does. All right. The boy was looking forward to this audition and nailing this part. I asked his mother, would you please, in the name of everything decent, put off the announcement about your daughter's cancer until tomorrow after he auditions? She said, I most certainly will not, got a very huffy look on her face, as if somehow what I was asking was not reasonable. And my son didn't get the part, and he just told me to go to hell.
Yeah, that's a rude boy that needs to be taught some manners.
So, in other words, you don't get it, do you? Bill, I am...
I think I do get it.
I'm talking about two mothers... I'm not talking about the children. I'm talking about two mothers trying to work something out. And in the end, there was only one of me. I was all alone. I was alone.
Well, Margaret, you're saying you were alone in your effort to get this woman not to announce her daughter's cancer until the next day so your son wouldn't blow an audition and he'd have all the support of the class.
I am alone in saying that my son, when he went into audition, they'd announced that Deanna had cancer. No one gave him any help. All of the, in other words, he's an actor, Phil. He needs that attention. All of a sudden, the attention is off of him. He goes in, lurches around. There's a term called going up. It means forgetting your lines. He's lurching around. He went up about five times. He looks like a fool. He sounds like an imbecile. He blew the part. Now there he is in his room, and he tells his own mother to go straight to hell. And I'd asked him if he wanted ice cream. This is what I mean, and this is when you talk about women... And you talk about parenting. I think you and a lot of people have a long way to go.
Margaret, I think what you've told me here is a story of a boy that was used to getting a lot of attention.
Would you please not reinterpret it back to me?
Well, you know what? I have an opinion here, okay?
I understand that, but you don't interpret it back to me as if this is the law.
Well, I'm going to tell you what my opinion is, and I think that he is a young man who was told that he had, you know, he had a lot of support and he had a lot of attention paid to him by his classmates and by his teachers. Along came a young lady, a classmate of his, who has cancer, and now the class is focused on her, not on him, and it sounds to me like a young man who's a little spoiled.
No, you're absolutely wrong.
If I'm wrong, show me where.
First of all, you don't get what it is to be a performer in that circumstance. Bill, I know you've worked in television, but not anywhere near as much as my son. He goes in for these auditions. The pressure is intense. You're looking for people to support you. You're looking for people to be there and to give you the thumbs up. The more, the merrier. He had the whole class behind him. And this woman, this mother, this... Martha Sherry, and I'd like to announce my daughter has cancer. And
did she say it like that?
Well, yes, she did.
She said it like that. I want to announce my daughter has cancer.
Yes, she, Phil, that's what it sounded like to me.
Oh, yeah, well, I'm sure it did, Margaret. I mean, this sounds like a very, very biased recounting.
You're extremely hostile to what I'm saying, and you're not listening with an open mind.
No, I am. I'm not hostile. I'm having to break. I'm having to get out of this this segment and commercial break, but I'm hearing you coloring some of the facts. What's more important, ladies and gentlemen, a young man's audition, or a mother wanting to make it known to her classmates that her daughter has cancer? Well, this is the battle that was going on there at Margaret Gray's school. Who we're very happy to have her on the air. We're going to have Margaret on next hour with a couple of. Production ideas. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. The world famous Phil Hendry Show. We'll be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. Listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here to the world famous Phil Hendry Show. On the line with me is Margaret Gray. We do thank Margaret for being with us. We were going to, and you're at a school function. It's funny, last hour we had Don Mixa, who was at a book fair. This is a school function that you're at right now, right?
Well, it is, Phil. This is for the Amy Mann Middle School, where our children go to school. And this is a fundraiser for this family whose daughter, this young girl, Deanna, has the condition, the cancerous condition. And you can see the extent they're going to for this child. And my son is sitting in his bedroom right now, thoroughly depressed, when they could have given him a little bit of support.
You know that this makes you sound a little selfish, right?
I'm aware that to unenlightened people, I may sound selfish. To people that don't understand the entertainment business, I may sound selfish. And
well, but just the idea that there's a girl with cancer, a boy has an audition, and you choose the boy.
I said, would you hold off making your big announcement about your daughter having cancer at least long enough to let my son go in and have a fighting chance to get this part? The answer, no.
All right, 877-876-PHIL is our number. What is more important? I think I know the answer to this, Margaret. You don't need to comment. My opinion, obviously, the mother whose daughter has cancer wants to make this announcement. This is more important. I think it's a better lesson. I don't think your son needs to have the adulation of the class.
You don't understand. You're not a mother.
Well,
you're not a mother. You haven't given birth to a child. You didn't almost die giving birth to a child. I did. And there's not a lot of women I know, not even women, who understand that.
So in other words, that...
talking to you as a man, you don't...
Well, I'm going to continue to ask you questions. 877-876-PHIL is the number here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Here is Jeff. Go ahead, Jeff. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Margaret Gray.
Hi, how you doing?
Yes, sir, good.
I gotta tell you.
Hello.
I am appalled by her statement. I am a father of two children, and I lost a child to cancer. And
how many children are left?
How many children are left?
I have two children, and I lost one to cancer. Okay, interrupt me again, please.
You have one.
I am appalled by your statement because, you know, first of all, anybody that puts their kids in pageants or tries to get them into show business, this child is obviously not of an age to where this is probably not his choice. You probably have been pushing them for years. And to put something like that...
You have to push them. You've got to push them.
Listen to me. Don't interrupt me again. To put that before another child's disease that may very well take them away from their families. You say you're a mother that you almost died losing your child.
I almost died giving
you
birth to that boy. That's right.
That's fine. That's fine. That happens a lot in life. In fact, like I've said before, I have lost
not
a child.
Quite.
And you are
not
appalling.
Quite.
You are a.
You didn't
you
give
disgusting.
Birth to the child that you lost.
It doesn't matter. It was my child that I lost. And for you to sit there and say that your son's audition was more important?
No, I said it could wait a day. The announcement about the girl's cancer.
That will probably more than likely end her life is appalling. You disgust me. You should not even be on the radio discussing this.
How dare you talk to a woman who almost died giving birth to her son?
Well, you know
you,
what? You need to get over that because
and you know
this some, girl
well, why
is
don't you get over some things,
to
too?
This girl
I beg your pardon?
Will probably die because of the leukemia. You don't even know what disease she has, and you're on here saying that your son's audition is more important than her disease.
I forgot
you
what disease it was.
Lady.
Well,
you
can call me names. It doesn't take much of a man to call a woman names, okay? And number two,
Margaret, let me jump in here. Hold on, let me just say something here, Eric. You know, Margaret, you are not showing due respect to this man when you say to him, how many are left? It is a part of good manners when a man says he's lost a child to say, I'm sorry, and Jeff, let me say, I'm sorry to hear that.
Are you actually telling me what good manners are?
I'm telling you now I am, yes. To say at least to this man, I'm sorry to hear about the loss of your child. And then but you said, how many are left?
I was
confused. He said he'd lost. He has two children. He lost one. So how many is that?
I guess he's got one left.
How many is left? I have two sons. I lost the daughter.
In terms of
cancer.
Well, I'll tell you what. In terms of a tax write-off.
What?
A tax write-off? Are you going to talk to me about losing a child, and now you're going to tell me in terms of a tax write-off?
You said to me, what difference does it make? You said, what difference does it make?
You are insane, lady.
Do you know any children actors? No, you don't. Do you know?
Nobody, that's not the point. Are you understanding the difference that people are saying here? Okay?
If you keep butting in, Phil, I swear to God.
You swear to God what?
Phil,
I told you what I did.
I'm going to say things that shouldn't be on the radio. She is insane.
Jeff, I want you to know something. I had
with her because it's
I don't let
and move on to something more important.
I don't let men talk to me like this. The last man that did, I defecated on his sofa. I'm insane.
You are.
I think you're insane. I think you're insane for saying that I had no right to bring up the tax ramifications.
It was not an appropriate time to bring that up.
When you said, what difference did it make, how many... You said it didn't make any difference how many kids were left.
You know that. Oh, my God.
Good
so
God. Good God.
I say something. You need to end this conversation with our
I'm telling you, I defecated on a man's...
I heard what you... Thank you very much, sir. I heard already what you did. And you know that some people think that's insane.
Phil, I am speaking out on something that I need... Hello?
Put her on hold, will you? We'll be back. World famous Phil Hendry Show. Margaret Gray here on her son, Jason J. Delmonico, losing an audition to, well, a girl who had cancer. Apparently, that took the attention of the class. We'll be back. Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-7445.
Say it again.
Shut up.
Phil Hendry. This is the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
I saw that. Phil Hendry Show here, 877-876. Phil, Margaret Gray is at... The Amy Mann Middle School, they're having a fundraiser tonight for Deanna Sherry. She's the daughter of Martha Sherry. She has a condition, a cancer, and they're raising money for the family. I'm going to have to assume that means there's no health insurance.
Well, that's something else. Thank you very much, Republican Party. And I do suspect that that's a lot of the people that we're hearing from tonight, Phil.
I don't think there's any politics involved here, Margaret. I think there's a sense of a disagreement, okay?
Well, look, there was an article today in the Huffington Post about a young lady in Southern California, no relation to the young lady that I'm talking about. Poor little girl, she herself with cancer. And that's what reminded me of what happened to Jason J. Delmonico. And I thought, and I guess... You know, we all look at these things differently. I thought, my God, they're everywhere.
Who's everywhere?
Well, the children that have these conditions that suddenly pop up when your son is trying to nail an audition and possibly have one of the very first dramatic roles he's ever had in a made-for-TV movie, and all of a sudden we've got these children with their. You know,
Their cancer?
I didn't say that, Phil, did I?
No, but you know what? Maybe it sounds to me like you're reluctant to say it, and that's why it didn't come out. Nonetheless, you see it, Margaret, as a foil or as an obstacle for your son who didn't get this part because this girl's mother announced that she had cancer and the other kids in the class turned their attention away from your son.
And the way you put it, Phil, it sounds very dry. There's not really a very dramatic intonation. He's in his bedroom right now, and he has a knife that his father gave him. It's one of these knives that you use for throwing at trees. And he's just throwing it on the floor in front of him. when I went in and I asked him if he wanted Moose Tracks ice cream, which is his favorite, he told me to go straight to the devil. That's not a happy child. And
that is a disturbed child. That's a child throwing a knife at the floor. I'd get that knife away from him.
Oh, my God, Phil, would you stop the dramatics?
Well, you are involved in a very dramatic rendering here, it sounds to me, with the girl with cancer and, no, don't make an announcement, my son has an audition, and there's no sensitivity. That's the part that's bothering me and bothering a lot of callers.
I told you, and I'll tell you again, and that man discounted it. When Jason J. Delmonico was born, they said they could hear me bellowing like an animal out in the parking lot. Okay? I didn't want to have to bring that.
Well, I, you know, Margaret, I don't want to comment on that.
No, naturally you don't want to comment on it.
877-876-PHIL. Let's go to a phone call here. On the line, we have Nancy on the Phil Henry Show. Nancy, go ahead. You're on with Margaret
Hi.
Gray.
Hi. Hello. There. Hi. I've been listening. Hi. I've been listening to your, you know, your dialogue back and forth, and I find it interesting because my background is in psychology, and I also was a middle school.
Oh, here
school.
We go.
No, now listen to me. I'm also.
Here we go.
Would you allow the lady to finish?
I listen to you very politely, and please listen to me politely as
well. But I heard you laughing. When you came on the line, you were laughing. You were all, hi. Like you were laughing.
Whatever I was doing, I'm not laughing now, and I'm saying something that will benefit you and your son. And maybe you should listen instead of talk and defend and fight off other people's comments. Here is what I see. I've been a middle school teacher, and I've been a high school teacher. And I have a psychology background. And what I see here is a mother who loves her son very much and went through an awful lot to have this son. But I also see a son and a mother that may not be facing the reality of your son's talents. In other words, I've also been an actress, by the way. In other words, that when somebody tries out for a part, they either have the talent that carries them through, or they don't. It's not a matter of how many other people in the audience think they have talent. It's a matter whether your son feels and is in reality about whether he has the talent. And what I'm seeing
here... Don't you think I know all of this? Don't you think we know this? Jason J. has he's gotten other professional jobs. So this is not his first job.
Oh, that's
he's done three. He did three Burger King commercials.
That's wonderful, but my point is that if he is that well-talented, whether or not somebody makes an announcement about their daughter having cancer should not affect his performance level, if he is truly a talented actor. And to
he is a very talented
reality,
actor, but he's a young boy. He's a young boy, and he had the adulation and his classmates,
fine,
and all of a sudden, guess what happened? All of a sudden, his classmates go, oh, we're not interested in you. Now we're interested in this girl with cancer because
children,
they don't care whether you live or die.
God.
It shouldn't matter because, you know, you could have 9/11 pop up in the world. You can have all kinds of other issues pop up in the world besides this girl having cancer. And if your son can't focus enough on what he needs to do to be a winner, then that's what he should focus on, is building up his skills in that area, not blaming some other woman and her poor child for your son's failure.
Having a little impatience is because you're not only a psychologist, you're an actress. You seem to have everything covered. Have you ever constructed suspension bridges? Do you know how to mass an attack on a fortified position? I mean...
Well, don't be sarcastic. The lady has experience in a couple of areas.
I'm getting at something with you.
You mean you haven't gotten there yet?
Your Achilles heel, darling, and you need to look at it. You need to look at it you. You need to look at it for your son. Because
my son is a great actor.
And
that woman knew what she was stealing from him that day.
Your son should be able to carry through no matter what the chatter in the background is, because that's life.
What's wrong with that? That sounds like very, very solid advice. Nancy, thank you very much. I mean, what that sounds like very good advice.
Come many calls dropped while that woman was going blah, 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 blah.
Never mind about how many calls dropped. Didn't you hear what she said?
That was the most, oh, God, God. I can't even imagine being one of your listeners and living through that. I had to listen to it as the recipient of it. But to be the listener on a radio show to that woman going, da 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 da.
You all done? Because what that lady was saying made a lot of sense. Why isn't your son stronger? And
my son is very strong. And I, for you to even intimate anything different, I find that very strange, given what I've meant to your radio show, given what Jason J. Delmonico has been to you. He's admired you, Phil. He's listened to your program. He thinks you're really hot stuff. Well, guess what? Now he's going to know the truth. That Phil Hendry is out there sucking up to every woman whose kid's got cancer. What the hell with it?
Hey, Ms. Gray, you know, none of that's going to work. None of those histrionics are going to work with me, so give it a rest. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Paul on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, Paul.
Hi. I love the show, by the way, but I just want to say I'm 20 years old. It's a Friday night, like 2 in the morning, where I'm at in Massachusetts. I've never felt more compelled to call the radio and let you know that this is the most disgusting excuse for a human being that I've ever, like,
How old are you?
Like, I am so glad I'm 20 years old and I have more morals than you.
20 years old and you're talking.
I am so glad.
You say I'm disgusting.
I am so glad that he hates you. Like, you better go take care of that knife. That's it.
You know what? I hate you.
Well?
That, you know what that is? That's a kid. I bet you that kid walked into a room with producers and I bet you he blew.
I heard that, and that was crude.
But I said blew the part. I didn't say blow the what you thought.
No, I heard what you said. 877-876-PHIL. That man is basically saying that what you're saying about that little girl having cancer being something that needs to go on the back burner while Jason J. Delmonico gets his audition done.
I didn't say the girl should die. I didn't say the girl should wait to have her cancer treatment. I said, could you wait before all of the hearts and flowers come out? Can you wait before we get Katie Couric down there to do the interview? Can you wait 5 lousy seconds, so that Jason J. can walk into an audition, give it his best? What are you doing? You see, now you want ice cream. He's finally come out of his room. And don't tell me to go to hell. I'll get your father.
If that boy is telling you to go to hell, you ought to get off the line right now and deal with that.
I'll deal with it. Don't worry. I have to be on the air. I have to be on the radio right now. He just told me to go to hell again. He told me to go to the devil and go to hell.
Well, get off the phone and talk to him.
I will in a moment.
877-876-PHIL. Let's go to Mike. Hi, Mike. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Margaret Gray. Go ahead.
Hello, Phil. How you doing?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I don't understand what. How could this woman? I don't even get it. How can you even pretend to
Why are you? If you don't get it, why don't you sit back and listen and try to understand?
You know what? Here. Oh my God! Really?
Well, you said you don't get it. Yeah. You should sit back and listen, and then you'll understand. Well, then you should sit back and listen and understand. Here it is. I'll explain it to you. My son is a
really?
Very talented actor. My son's
really?
A very talented actor, and this girl has cancer. Now, is she going to die tomorrow? No.
Yeah.
Is
yeah.
she going to die
yeah.
the next day? No.
You know,
so
I
they
don't
can
care.
Hold off on their
care.
Little announcement.
I don't care if she has cancer.
Well, no wonder
I'm
you're
glad
dying.
She has
you
cancer.
Don't listen.
I'm glad she has cancer.
Okay.
I wish you had cancer.
I wish you had cancer.
Yeah, well, you know what? But because
well, this is intelligent.
Are...
oh, you know what? You know what? I
what?
Let you
no,
get
tell
a wife
what.
That
tell
impacts you to death. You are easy. You're too easy. Now, here's what
yeah.
you do, Clem, or whatever your name is.
The man's name is... Okay, so are we
yeah,
going to go through an insult?
No.
His name is
no,
Mike.
No, you said his name was Clem.
No, I didn't. I said his name is Mike.
Well, it's Clem
yeah.
to me. Now, listen, Clem.
No, his name is Mike.
said it's Plim.
It's Mike.
Well, I say it's Plim.
You know what? You know what I think is really funny.
Mike.
Yes.
Your name.
Yes.
Your name, for the purposes of our conversation, is Clem.
His name is Mike.
Is it? No, no, that's okay. That's okay. Call me Clem. Call me Clem. Because you know what's
Clean
really
or Clint? I didn't. I called you Clean.
You know what? I don't care what you say. What's really funny is all of you.
We all know that, and you listen every night, stupid. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go over to, we got Clay over here. Clay, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. I just think everybody's focusing on the wrong thing here. The problem doesn't start with the child. It starts with the mother, because she's convinced this child he can never fail at anything. And he's
the, girl
the
with
most
cancer?
Important thing in the world, and everyone should bow down to him. And she's
what about
not
the girl that has cancer?
This child to deal with the rest of his life. She's just
what
teaching
the
him to blame everybody for her failure and for his failure. Thank you,
what
sir.
About the girl who has cancer? What is her mother doing? Why did you criticize her?
Because we've got you on the air right now.
What a chip. Clem?
His name is Clay. We'll be back. Phil Hendry Show, 877. Boy, it got quiet there at the carnival all of a sudden, didn't it? Maybe Phil has been yelling a little too loud there at Margaret. Maybe her son finally got the message, because I understand he was out getting his Moose Tracks ice cream or whatever his story is. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
It is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Our news and comment hour, news and information hour coming up next hour. Margaret Gray, I think, is going to join us, I hope, Margaret.
Phil, I'm very happy to, but I have to tell you, the personal insults, the comments that have been made.
You don't see at all where some of them have been at least provoked by you when you say, when the man says, I lost a child to cancer, and you say, how many have you got left? And
I thought it was a logical question, Phil. And
I told, you know, like, I'm sorry that you lost your child.
Well, Phil, I'm trying in the context of a radio interview. And I'll tell you something else. When he said, what has that got to do with anything? And I said to him, tax ramifications. My God, you thought I would have said to him, here is a nice heaping helpful of cow dung. Have a nice breakfast. Well, I didn't. I'm looking at a commercial right now for cerebral palsy. It shows a child in a leg brace. All right, I'll send money. Do you feel better? Meanwhile, my son sits eating his Moose Tracks and looking like the biggest loser.
Good, Mom.
Well, you do. You look like such a loser.
You're talking to your son right now?
Yes, I am. And by the way, I'll talk to my son my way.
Well, I just think sitting there telling him he's a loser after spending an entire hour saying how things were unfair to him is rather bizarre. Here is Dawn on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, Dawn.
Okay. Margaret, I really am very disgusted with you. You make me sick. Simply
what are you talking about? What are you talking
because,
about?
Well, what are you talking about? You're sitting up here talking about your son being a very good actor as opposed to a child who has cancer. I am a two-time breast cancer survivor, and it pisses me off, excuse my language, that someone like you is trying to sit up here and say, well, let's wait 5 minutes, let's wait 5 days. Have you ever had cancer? Have you ever had
cancer? I almost
cancer?
Died. Giving birth to my son. I bellowed like a cow.
That is not the question. The question is, have you ever had cancer? Do you know that 5 minutes, 1 day, 2 days, 1 week that you're asking all these people to put aside for your son? If your son is that good of an actor, do you not realize that him not going and having this audition, another one is going to pop up for him? And guess what? He may get that.
Can I tell you something?
God.
My son just came out of his room and he said, "Hey, Mom, the lady that's on the radio right now, give her this." And he flipped you the bone.
Do you want her to wait?
He flipped you off.
Wait a minute. Your son flipped off this lady?
Yes. He flipped you off, lady.
Who did?
My son.
He came out of his room and flipped this lady off?
Yes. He said, "Mom, to that lady on the phone right now," and he stuck his finger out.
Well then why don't you go deal with...
Then what does that say about your son? He sits up there and calls you... You call him a loser. He tells you to go to hell, to go see the devil. What does that say about your son? I mean, really?
Reacting,
you know what?
He's reacting reasonably to you, screeching like a banshee.
Okay,
let's watch...
reacting to you. How is he reacting to you? He is sitting there telling you, "Mom, go to hell. This girl needs treatment. And you're worried about me with an audition? Guess what? This may not be the one for me, Mom. This may be God telling me, you know what? Maybe you need to pass on this one. Maybe we need to sit back and say, you know what,
God? Oh, I'm sure that's what God's saying. Oh, I'm sure that's how God sounds. Yeah, right.
Are you a Christian?
Am I what?
Are you a Christian?
A Christian?
No, yeah,
our last name is Gray.
No, not your last name.
What an idiot.
The family name is Gray, not Christian.
My last name is Davis.
Well, some people's last name is Christian. You know that.
Christian, more power to you. Praise God. But you obviously do not have a heart.
Look at this, right here.
Jason J, sitting there with the ice cream.
Go into your room.
Margaret, pay attention to the conversation.
I apologize, but my son was sitting there like a loser. Yes?
Why do you belittle your son? No.
He looks about 100 yards of loser.
How old is your son?
14.
You know what?
No, there's no more loose tracks. No.
Do you believe in God? Do you believe?
You know, that
God
reminds me of what did the fish say to the other fish? Do you believe in God? I thought that was a good joke, and I told that at a church meeting.
Well, my God, the people
didn't laugh at all.
No one is asking you that question.
Okay. Well, you know what? If that's what you want to do in church, that's fine. You know, if you feel that.
Do I believe in God?
No, do you believe in Jesus Christ?
I can't hear her.
Turn the music down a little bit. What did you say, ma'am?
Do you believe in Jesus Christ? And don't say you don't hear
are
me.
You a-
because you
well,
do.
Are you asking Phil or are you asking me?
She's asking you. Do you believe in Jesus Christ?
Phil, do you believe in Jesus Christ? Amen. Do you believe in Jesus Christ, Margaret?
Phil, do you believe in Jesus Christ?
Well, I'm not it's not...
I just
you're the one
you.
That she's...
No. Well, Phil, do you believe in Jesus Christ? Why do
broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Hey, welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast. That means we have about an hour to go, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. And we are into Saturday now here on the El Pacifico. And our friends and neighbors and loved ones and trusted aides back east.
What do you mean AIDS?
AIDES. God, what an idiot.
You know what AIDS? Like an aide to the president?
Yeah, but you're saying AIDS.
Look at man, everything doesn't have a... weird freaking meaning, okay? Anyway, it's near closing time. Anyway, 4 a.m. On the East Coast is when we call it a night, or a morning, if you will. And then we're back at it again tomorrow evening. And I say tomorrow, I mean this evening, 7 p.m. Pacific, right here on Phil TV in HD on philhenryshow.com. Not on our radio network. We're back on Monday night on the radio network. But radio-wise, we do... a local show here on the West Coast. All right. 877-876. Phil, this is our news and information hour with me, Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard, as we look at some of the news that has been of interest to us. And, you know, it must be, to be the President of the United States, looking at unemployment numbers, it must be like being in entertainment, looking at the ratings, you know?
Yeah, I was just thinking that, you know.
The fact that when you're in the entertainment business, or you're in the, you know, the business of gaining an audience for whatever reason, whether it's radio or television or film, you're always looking for either box office or ratings. And when those ratings numbers come out, of course, you sweat it. And when your, you know, financials come out. So being the president of the United States, I guess the jobless rate is your ratings.
Yeah, except the in the ratings, you want to be high. In the unemployment, you don't.
Exactly. You want the numbers to go down, man. It's completely the opposite. And that's exactly what they did do, the unemployment rate dipping to its lowest level in nearly 3 years last month. Good news that on Friday rippled through rival presidential campaigns whose prospects could hinge on the pace of the economic recovery. Unemployment has declined in four consecutive months to 8.5%, its lowest level since the president's second month in office. However fragile it is, the kind of trend that Obama's counting on. Obama's advisors reacted to the report with hard-earned caution. They have not forgotten 2010's recovery summer, which began with a spate of presidential groundbreakings meant to highlight the healing effects of the economic stimulus, only to have the jobless rate go up, not down. They are also concerned about economic forecasts, indicating that things could get worse before they get better. A surge in oil prices, a recession in Europe, or a slowdown in China could derail the jobs recovery, and with it, Obama's reelection hopes. It's an interesting thing, the unemployment rate, and it's a question that has been asked over and over, and the answer always comes back the same. Presidents don't really have a whole hell of a lot to do with unemployment rates, folks. Presidents don't really have a whole hell of a lot to do with unemployment rates. What has to do with unemployment rates is the normal cycle of business. Now, yes, in the minds of some, government can speed up or slow down the so-called normal cycle of business. But if you know anything about business, and I don't think you have to know a lot, if you know anything about American business, it's an extremely competitive environment. There's no question. And one of the things that takes place is that when one businessman says to another businessman, boy, times sure are tough, I don't know if I can keep up the hiring. I may have to lay off some people. When a guy like that telegraphs what's going on in the very minuscule interior of his business world, what he's doing basically is he's giving a whole lot of information to a rival or two or three or ten. In other words, there's lots and lots and lots of business that's being done in the United States. And there's a lot of business being done around the world. And where one guy says that he can't cut it or hack it, and he's got to fire people, and he's got to do this and that, there's another guy standing there waiting to suck all that business up. So, you see, what we do in our country, and perhaps they do this around the world, is we focus on all these guys that are having a hard time. And I understand. I'm not knocking them. I understand. But the more they talk about how much of a hard time they're having, the more there's somebody else out there listening, you know.
Why that guy saying something?
Why isn't he saying something what?
You know, why isn't he saying my business is doing really good?
He's not going to. Why should he say that? You can let his stockholders can see the prices. The stockholders can see the kind of business that's being done. They can see the numbers. The people that watch the markets, they see the numbers. The guy doesn't have to go out there and start trumpeting how good he's doing. There's all kinds of other people going to do it for him. The news isn't going to report that. The news is because you don't have a lot of savvy people reporting the news, you know.
Well, you're saying like a guy that's a business news is too stupid. Yeah, it seems wrong.
Yeah, I mean, put on a Wall Street Journal, everything like that.
What about the Wall Street Journal?
Don't they know nothing?
Yeah, they know a lot of stuff. But who reads the Wall Street Journal? Other business people. The average guy out in the streets of America, the average people listen to talk radio. They don't listen to, they don't read the Wall Street Journal, man, any more than they read any newspaper. Okay? All they know is what is stuck under their nose. And I say that, I'm not talking about you guys listening, because you're listening to the Phil Hendry Show, which means there's something wrong with you. I mean,
yeah, no, you're smart.
Yes, you're smart. No, there's something real different about you. Let's put it that way. And so, you know, people that listen to talk radio on average are not, excuse me for saying this, they're not the most, they're not the brightest bulbs on the tree. Now, that's not saying, you know, what I mean by that is the really ideologically driven people. People are going to listen to it for entertainment purposes.
Yeah, you just call people a bunch of dumbass.
Not everybody. I'm saying people that are elite, ideologically driven are these people that are only going to read what they want to read. They're going to read what's going to support their point of view. So here again, when you have the news focusing on bad economy, bad business, people being laid off, companies shutting down, okay, fine, that's great. But you don't understand, and I say you, I mean the average person that's going to buy into that doesn't understand how business, what the business climate is about, what business, what competition between different business entities means, what's really going on out there. Some guy says, I can't hack it, and I've got to close my doors, and I have to do this, I have to do that. All that is more information for someone who's not about to close his doors. He's not about to contract. He's not about to do anything other than make more money. Probably the money that jackass was going to make if he hadn't shut down. Now, that's a fact. I'm not imagining that. That happens. Oh, sure, it may mean that there's a few people that are getting fat off of all the weaklings. That's the way. But the point is, if there's one thing, what do you think the most valuable thing in the world is, bud?
What do you mean?
What do you think the most valuable thing on Earth is?
Gold.
Okay, you say gold. Robert?
You think gold?
I'm not going to answer. What do you think?
Diamond.
Diamonds. You say diamonds, you say gold. You know what I say it is? Information.
What? The information, that's not gold or anything.
What do you mean information?
Information is the most important and most valuable thing on Earth. Information. That's what it's all about now. That's what it's all about now. And if you look at where technology is going, where is it going? It's going toward the delivery of information faster and more accurate and more complete and more detailed than ever before. And when you have information that the other guy doesn't have or you have it before him, you have a leg up in business and really in every other way. So that's what's going on in business in America right now. What you're seeing is the shell shock that a lot of companies are going through because of this economy. But what you're not really seeing, what you're not being pointed in the direction of, and what you're not focused on are the people that are making the money. And there's always somebody making money. Okay? The people that are hiring, the people that are expanding, the people that are, And this is, unfortunately, what makes the world go around, man.
Yeah, but what if the people are getting their ass kicked? They look like a bunch of losers.
Exactly. They don't look like losers to you or to me, but they look like losers to their competitors. When the guys are sitting around one morning in the boardroom saying, did you hear about, he closed his doors, a real loser. That guy is. He can't hack it. Get out of the race, man. I mean, it's hardcore, but that's what's happening. What do you think the Japanese are saying when Detroit started having all the problems? What do you think they were saying? Oh, that's really too bad. They were saying, look at these bums. You bums can't hack it. We're over here in Tokyo, man. We're, we're gaming your ass. We're beating you at your own game.
Yeah, but they don't make Cadillacs or anything.
Yeah, well, they made Lexus.
Well,
so what if they don't make Cadillacs? Who the hell's buying a Cadillac? I wouldn't buy a Cadillac now. Well, are they a sponsor?
Maybe.
I love Cadillac. I'd love them even more if they came back with the fins, man. That's what I... All right, so the falling jobless rate is good news to Obama, but the reality will continue that presidents got nothing to do with how good or how bad business is. The more we think they do, and the more we wring our hands like a bunch of grandmothers and worry about that stuff, I mean, the more we're going to get left behind. However, for Obama, it's great news. He can go out and he can get, everybody jazzed about it. Now, if it starts turning in the other direction, one of these days maybe we'll all get smart as consumers. Now, what's the story here? U.S. rescues Iranian hostages held by pirates. I can't wait to read you this one. This is beautiful. From Voice of America. It's coming up next here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
What do you do?
The U.S. Navy rescued some Iranians that were held hostage by pirates after we were, quote, warned by Iran to stay out of the Persian Gulf. Yes, sure. We'll be back. World-famous Phil Hendry Show and online at philhendryshow.com.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Matt. Hendry Show. Famous Phil Hendry Show.
Okay, We have Margaret Gray and Bobby Dooley with us at the Beverly Hills Hotel. Tonight they're going to be showing off a couple of musical numbers that are being produced on behalf of our show. These will be songs that I guess you'd call these identifying jingles, and we have Margaret on the line. What would you call this kind of a song, Margaret?
Well, I think so. This is very crowded out here. I think the best way to describe what we're going to do, Phil, they're identifiers, what we call IDs in radio. I will sing, and I've got a number of songs, and with me is Josh Caliban is with us. Josh?
Hi.
So Josh is here at the piano, and we're outside on the patio bar. It's very busy here tonight, but everyone is very excited to hear. And what I would do is, as long as I've got an audience, and you know, we were talking last hour about Jason J. Delmonico being comfortable with an audience. And by the way, Phil, I'm going to just allow myself to forget that last hour ever occurred. All right?
Okay, fine.
That's all you have to say, huh?
That's, yes. I'm sorry. Yes.
All right. And Frank is here.
How you doing, young man?
Frank, how are you doing?
Phil, I'm better than Custer. And I just got I got a doers, I got water, and this guy at the bar is about as stupid.
I'll do it, Frank, all right? Will you take...
Well, let me talk to Frank while you get ready, okay?
What?
Let me talk to Frank while you get ready, okay?
How are you, young man?
I'm good, Frank. So what's going on? What were you saying about the guy at the bar?
Oh, they got a bartender here. She's about as stupid as the day. I said, give me three fingers of Dewars in a glass. I said, you know, and she... Look, she's staring at me, right? I said, listen. I said, you know what a glass is, right? And she goes, yeah, uh-huh. And a big guy. You know, she's about 6'2", so...
I have to tell people, Frank has gender confusion, which means that he calls men she and he calls women he. And
I'm sorry?
Nothing. Go ahead.
Anyway, she's a big guy, about 6'2" or 6'4", so immediately I start thinking I'm dealing with some kind of a lummox, some kind of an idiot, you know. Maybe she plays ball for UCLA or something, I don't know. I said, listen, have you got a glass, a regular glass? And she's looking at me like, I don't know.
Watch your language.
I'm sorry. I said, okay, get a glass. Put ice in the glass. And I'm literally having the leader by the hand, okay? And I said, by the way, where's the regular bartender, Rudy? And she said, no, Rudy's not here. I said, well, where is she? She goes, I don't know. All right, put some glass.
All right, hurry up, will you, Frank?
What?
Hurry up.
Okay, but anyways, but two fingers of doers, and this is Jack. Jack,
well, I guess he screwed the drink up. Frank drinks Stewards, as you know, Phil. And what did he put in?
He put that Johnny Red. I will kill the next man that... I will kill, I mean, I will murder anybody.
He hates that Johnny Walker. I mean, he hates it like it's poison.
All right. So we're going to have a song, huh?
We're going to have a song, and this is called On the Phil Hendry Show. And then I will roll out the finished product, okay? Phil?
Okay, great.
Josh, 1, 2, into the piano, yeah. 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, and a 1, 2, 2, 3. Oh, the Phil Hendry Show, the Phil Hendry Show. There's so much fun on the Phil Hendry Show. Every day I wake up... spill that on me, you dumbass. He just spilled something on... That's not... What is that?
I don't know. It's... Oh, my God.
What is that?
It's a cream or something, some kind of a cream. Oh, God.
Well, what God is it?
Oh, I think it's dip.
Oh, my God, someone spilled dip on me.
Okay, can we forget the dip and just get to the song?
Huh?
Will you forget the dip and let's get to the song?
What do you mean the dip? You talking about Frank?
No, the dip that's on you.
Oh, yeah. Let's just get to it, will you, Josh? You got the piano?
Yes, I have it in the car.
Don't talk that loud. Everyone's going to think you're a fruit. All right, here we go, Phil. This is the song that I like.
And it's to the song, it's to the tune of Your Lost Little Girl by the Doors. Or the Doors, I guess.
Yeah, that, I like that Doors.
Hold on. Here we go. The Phil Hendry Show. The Phil Hendry Show. There's a little, the echo effect, Phil. Did you get that?
Yeah.
The Phil Hendry Show. Oh, wow. 2, 3, 4, and I love his show. Don't you? 2, 3, 1, 2, don't step on it. I like all the things that he do. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Okay. So, Phil, I turn it off. Turn that garbage off, will you? All right, Phil, what do you think?
I don't know. First of all, I don't know if you're going to get the permission from the Doors to be able to use that.
Don't worry about it. What'd you think of the words?
I like all the things that he do.
Well, let me see that. Where are the lyrics, Frank? I like all the things that he do. Oh, for God, all the dumbass. We'll have to correct that, Phil.
Okay. Otherwise, I, you know.
Otherwise what? I think it's brilliant, and it uses, you know, the classic rock paradigm that I think is very, very important. What is the stink that I've got on me, Frank?
I think it's the dip. Jesus, that is disgusting.
No, I don't think this is dip at all. I think you know what I think this is. Because look at who's got a smile on his face.
Okay, that's all I want to hear, all right?
I didn't know we were still on the air.
Well, yes, you were. I don't even know if we have time for Bobby Dooley. I think we got a couple of minutes here. Is Bobby there? Hey, Frank?
Yeah.
Is Bobby Dooley there?
Bobby. What?
Bobby Dooley, is she there?
Hold on. Where's Bobby Dooley?
I don't know. I think I saw her.
I could care less. I don't care if she lives or not.
Hey, Bobby Dooley. It's Frank Gray. Bobby Dooley.
Hi, Phil.
Bobby, have you got time with your song?
Yes, I do. It's a really, it's easy. It's to the Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood song. 1, 2, 3, and don't count it down the way I count it down. Get out of here, you cow. Call me a cow. That's right, and there's more where that came from. Here we go. 1, 2, 3. It's a lovely day in the neighborhood, a lovely day in my neighbor. Could you be my Phil Hendry fan? It's a lovely day in the neighbor. It's a lovely day up my neighbor's. Well, I got that wrong.
Yeah, I think you did get that wrong.
Well, I'm sorry.
Sing it again.
It's a lovely day in the neighborhood, a lovely day up the neighbor's. Oh. Why is this dirty? Because you wrote it.
You know what? You're going to have to rework that, and we'll try and...
Can we do it after the break?
I don't know, but rework it and see what we can do. What a cluster, you know what. World-famous Phil Hendry Show, is that dip? I don't think so. We'll be right back.
Oh, my God. It is a dip, is it, John?
I'm sorry.
A lovely day with your... Oh.
Phil Hendry.
What?
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
I just saw this thing, and thank you, Bobby and Margaret, again for a very gutsy attempt. I guess we can redo that at some point on the Phil Hendry jingle. Welcome back here to our News and Information Hour. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Now, I just saw this story here. Ron Paul and Mitt Romney are in it for the long haul. Now, I was theorizing out loud that Ron Paul couldn't possibly believe he's going to be elected president. I don't say that. I don't mean any disrespect by that. I mean actual respect. I think that he's smart enough to know that he's just that far enough out of the mainstream that he's not going to be elected president. I think he's smart enough to know that if he's got some oddball followers, you know.
Yeah, what I'm going to say, he's got a weird ones. People are not going to want to be there.
Yeah, I wouldn't support Ron Paul because I don't want anybody to think I'm weird, you know.
People already think you're weird.
You know, why don't you shut up, man?
Yeah, just back off for a minute, okay? Hold on.
They do.
Yeah, okay. You know, can I hit him?
No, you can't hit him. Shut up, bud. Yes, that's a very good point, actually, that Robert makes. I mean, there's a perception when you say, I support Ron Paul, people may think you're some kind of a weird ass. Seriously. When I hear people say they support Ron Paul, I start wondering, well, what exactly? I know that you are a strict so-called constitutionalist. I don't know what the hell that means. You may not even know what that means. I mean, right by the Constitution. Do you understand that there's a difference of opinion as to what a strict constructionist interpretation of the Constitution is? There's an interpretation that is applied to the Constitution that's different from basically every human being that looks at it. It's ridiculous to start talking about how I'm a strict constructionist, this and that. Oh, my ass. You find me, I can find any four guys that claim that they're that, and they got four different views of the Constitution. So don't give me this stuff. The Constitution is very much a document that has to be handled in terms of the contemporary society in which we live. It is interpreted through the eyes of a contemporary Supreme Court, and that's just the way it's going to be, and that's the way it's always been. Grow up and live in the modern world and quit living out in fantasy land. Anyway, having said all of that bullcrap, which is basically what it is, Ron Paul can't be that dumb. Does he think he's going to get elected president?
Yeah, he probably thinks he will.
I don't know. I agree with you. I don't think he is.
I don't think he believes he's going to be president. I think he's going to stay in this thing long enough. He'll stay in it to the bitter end so he can get his message out, period. Plain and simple. Whatever that may be, libertarian, low tax, low government, no this, no that, I don't like. Whatever, he will continue to hammer home these points of view. And he'll say, I can't tell people what to say. I can't tell people what to think. If they're going to say, if they're going to sound like idiots in my name, that's just the way it's going to be. You're going to have to be smart enough to understand. I get all of that, man. You know, I work in media. And in the media, there's a couple of ways of going about things. You can say, this is how I do my show. This is what. And if people misunderstand them, that's their problem. They're too stupid. And that's a valid point of view. But you're going to have to take what you get as the result of that. And what you get as the result of that is basically a smaller percentage of the audience. If you say, this is what I do, and I'm not going to, you know, this and that, then yes, you are intentionally sacrificing the larger group for the people who really get what you're, and that's how you're going to make your living. If you say, on the other hand, I want to embrace all people, then you make things as clear as you possibly can, and you make yourself as accessible as you possibly can, and you say as many things as you can to endear yourself to as many people as you can, and that's how you do that thing. Well, politics is no different. Politics is no different. Now, once you get that big audience, you're going to have to keep delivering the same way you were delivering. In politics, however, once they get that big voter block, then they get into the White House, and then they say, okay, great, now we got all these cats supporting us. Now I'm going to do my thing, and that's what pisses off voters. Well, I think personally it's time for voters to wake up a little bit.
Yeah, because that's how it's always been.
That is how it's always been. So voters are going to have to wake up and smell the green tea. All right, here's the thing I wanted to read. U.S. rescues Iranians held hostage by pirates. This is pretty funny because the Iranians are told the U.S. Navy to stay the hell out of the Persian Gulf. A U.S. Navy ship has rescued 13 Iranians being held hostage by pirates in the Arabian Sea days after Iran warned U.S. vessels not to return to the Persian Gulf. The U.S. Navy announced Friday it had detected the pirate skiff alongside the Iranian fishing vessel, the Al Malai, on Thursday after receiving a distress call from the Iranian ship. The Navy said a team of military personnel from the destroyer USS Kidd boarded the Iranian vessel, or Dihau, I guess is what it's called, and detained 15 pirates who were holding the Iranians hostage. The Navy said the Iranian vessel had been under the control of the pirates for more than a month and was being used as a headquarters for pirate operations. It said the hostages are believed to have been forced to help with piracies. A U.S. Navy spokeswoman told the Voice of America on Friday that the U.S. naval team was aware before the rescue that the Dihau, I don't know how to pronounce that.
Let me see that. Dihau.
Let me see. Yeah, it's Dihau.
Great, thank you. You guys both told me something I already know. A U.S. Navy spokeswoman told the Voice of America on Friday that the U.S. naval team was aware before the rescue that the Dihau was flying an Iranian flag. Lieutenant Rebecca Reberich says vessels are obligated to assist any distressed sailors regardless of nationality. International law. Good for our Navy. Good for you guys. Reberich said the head of the Iranian crew expressed his sincere gratitude to the U.S. Navy, saying he feared that without the U.S. assistance, his crew would have been held hostage for months. The Navy said the Iranians were given food and medical care and were released wearing USS Kidd-embroidered hats. Navy officials say the sailors are now on their way home and most likely not aware of the recent tensions between Tehran and Washington. Iran has recently threatened to close the Straits of Hormuz in the Persian Gulf and warned the U.S. not to operate aircraft carriers in the area, something the U.S. routinely does. Good. U.S. officials have made clear that operations will continue as usual in the Gulf. U.S. State Department spokeswoman Victoria Nuland said Friday the U.S. had not communicated with Iran about the rescue that she called a humanitarian. The Iranians protested on its last voyage through Hormuz. The John C. Stennis Carrier Strike Group just rescued this Iranian Dihau from pirates, said Nuland. The pirates, believed to be Somalis, are in detention at sea on the USS, on the U.S. aircraft carrier, the USS John C. Stennis. How about that?
They're Iranian. Look, they look like the biggest bunch of douchebags.
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, that made them, that's what I call, that's a double down douche, you know.
Double down on the douche, huh? No kidding, man. That made them look like the biggest suckers and saps. Well, good for our Navy. They, in you know, observation of international law, they got a distress call. They went out. They helped. They saved the lives of these individuals, the people on the ship. And we're getting this from the Navy. We're very, very grateful. One of the crew members, the head of the crew, said that he feared that they would be in captivity for months. And the Navy then gave them food, medical care, released them wearing USS Kidd-embroidered Navy hats, which I don't know how that'll be received when they get home. And they get home wearing these U.S. Navy hats, and somebody's got to say to them, you know, don't you know America's the great Satan? Again? I thought we were over that. No, they're the Satan now. I thought we got through that. No. Nope. Let me see that hat. Can I have it? No, it's mine. No, I you know. The Ayatollah, he wants one of those hats. You go, no, I can't have it. He's the Ayatollah. Okay. What if that Ayatollah wants a hat?
Are you kidding me? An Ayatollah? They're not aware to wear no Navy hat. They got to wear that, like, turban, don't they?
I don't know. What do they wear?
They wear, like, a big turban hat.
I think they'd probably go to hell and wear a Navy hat.
Are you guys? I'm kidding, okay?
Well, still.
Yeah, they'd probably go to hell. In their minds, they'd go to hell wearing a USS Navy hat. Anyway, I think that's a beautiful thing, and, you know, a strong... People always talk about navies. Well, how important is a navy, you know? Well, England. Take a look at England. You know how big England is, right?
Yeah.
Little tiny dinky country. That little tiny dinky country, because it had a big badass navy, went around the world and captured all kinds of, you know, stuff and made it into an empire, you know?
Yeah, but that wasn't right, man.
Well, yes, you're right, it wasn't right. But what I'm saying to you is, people say, how did a little tiny country master all of that stuff? They had a big, badass navy. England had one hell of a navy. They still have a pretty good navy. But their navy back in those days, man, they went anywhere they wanted, however they wanted, when they wanted, who they wanted. Nobody's going to tell them any different. And they went everywhere. You got to have a strong navy. If you're doing business the way America does business, you better have a strong navy, man.
Yeah, but we ain't making no empire or nothing.
Well, we shouldn't make an empire, but we do business with a lot of different countries. We got a whole bunch of enemies. I mean, you know, we're out there in the world, man. We want to go where we want to go. We don't want to sit back here holding onto our asses, afraid to step foot out of our front door. It's kind of like living in a bad neighborhood, you know? You walk out there, you're afraid you're going to get mugged. You can't do that. You can't live like that.
But I have a big navy to do that.
You got to have a badass Navy to do that. Yeah, we go out and we, hi, how you doing? We don't mean anybody any harm, but if you screw with us, well, we'll just have to blow your country to kingdom come, and we can do that with one submarine. Thank you.
Yeah, you tell me about a submarine.
You better believe it, man. One U.S. submarine can take an entire country off the map. Just remove it. Just one submarine.
What?
Yes. Yes. One U.S. sub could take a country like, oh, I don't know, Pakistan, remove it. Just, you know.
You mean it'd, like, kill everybody?
It would kill everyone, and it would take the physical thing called Pakistan. It would just turn it into, like, soup.
Man.
I think. I'm not sure. All right, we'll be right back on a world-famous Phil Hendry Show with our final segment here. Don't forget, philhendryshow.com. We'll have our show log up on the site after the show tonight. Don't forget to register. To enter the drawing for a free BSP for the month of February, which is Phil History Month. The world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show here. And we're here every night until 1 on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. Again, a big welcome to our new affiliate in Seattle, KVI. And welcome to all of you guys, our backstage pass members. We are very appreciative of you and all of you listening to the show. And don't forget, as I mentioned, we're giving away our free BSP, and next month is Phil History Month. So we got a lot of stuff to look forward to, you know, a lot of stuff. It's not going to make you any smarter, but, you know.
More laughs.
Yeah, we're about the laughs. That's all. Yeah, it's what you know. What else is there? Yeah, I mean, I'm not. You think I'm going to try and educate you? Forget it. You know.
Yeah, don't you want to be like educational
with an idiot like you sitting there? No, there's no way it's going to happen.
Oh yeah, right.
Hey, bud, you think I'm going to be doing an educational show with you sitting there going, "You're going to be educational,
man"? We got two of the biggest dumbasses sitting there. You can't do that.
I'm not saying you guys are dumbasses. I'm just saying, what do you mean educational? Are you out of your mind?
We got a responsibility to the public.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, pull the other one, man. We got a responsibility. I got a responsibility. This is my responsibility, okay? I got to somehow find a way to entertain this audience at night. I got to do it to the point where it makes a couple of stations happy, so that maybe they sell a couple of spots, so that maybe they make a couple of dollars, so that maybe they're grateful to me, so that maybe I hang on for another few months. That's the way I see it. That's it, man. Forget educate the public. Till what? People are going to believe what they want to believe. You ain't going to get them. You're not going to change their mind, man. I tell you, when we first started doing this show back in this you know, generation of the Phil Hendry Show in June of 2007, we've been doing this show since 1990. But I took a year off and then came back with a news talk show. We were trying to do like a talk show, trying to do serious talk. Are you kidding? You know, there's only one kind of serious talk radio, and it's all owned by conservatives. That's it. And how serious it is anybody's guess. How intelligent it is even more anybody's guess. And really, quite frankly, how successful it is anybody's guess, with the exception of one or two shows. So what the hell, man? I ain't going to happen. So we're going to sit here and as much as we can try to make people laugh. And if we can't, then you know what we're going to do. We're going to kill ourselves.
What?
We are. We're going to take cyanide, and that will be it. We'll go out the way Hitler went out. We'll just, you know, if we can't have it the way we want to have it, we're going to go into the bunker. And we're going to... I'm kidding, bud. Look at him.
What, are you about to cry?
Why are you scaring me?
Oh, will you grow up? All right, listen. Video tracks stricken Mars probe. Check this out. The failed Russian Mars probe Phobos Grunt has been pictured moving across the sky by the Paris-based amateur astronomer Thierry Legault. I hope I'm pronouncing that name correctly. The spacecraft is seen moving left to right in the video. The bulbous shape of its fuel tanks and its outstretched solar panels are also easily discernible. Mr. Legault uses a sophisticated telescopic tracking system and captured similar imagery of NASA's defunct UARS satellite last year. Phobos Grunt is falling to Earth.
That's the one I'm going to go to Mars on, huh?
Well, I don't know. What do you mean go to Mars on? It was a Martian probe, much like our Mariner, I guess. And what was the other one that we did, man? The big one, like 10, 12 years ago. I forget the name of it. But in any event, the Russians wanted to say, yeah, it was a Mars probe. They're going to send it up there, take some pictures. What the hell do they got to send one up? Are we sharing photographs?
Yeah, they do, but they probably don't trust. Maybe they don't think we went to Mars. Or maybe they thought we landed on a different planet.
What? Are you telling me the Russians are that stupid?
You don't know.
I mean, why would they send up their own probe when we have gone there and we've done it? We're doing it way better than they could do it. And we've got all these photographs. We've got all this science. What a waste of money. What a waste of the country's. I guess in a lot of ways, though, it's a morale builder for the people, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, they think, Russian people think, man, we can still go into outer space. We might have screwed all this other stuff up. Can't do no communism no more. At least we know how to go to space. That much we do know.
Yeah, that much they can do.
Okay. We screwed up communism. At least we can go into space. That much we do know.
What's so funny?
It is funny. Anyway, it is expected to re-enter the atmosphere in the next 6 to 9 days. Or excuse me, 8 to 9 days, and burn up. The Russian, what do you want, bud?
You do that on purpose.
What?
6-9.
Oh, grow up. The Russian, get out of here. The Russian Space Agency said on Friday that perhaps 20 to 30 pieces weighing no more than 200 kilograms, whatever that is, in total might survive the destructive dive and impact the surface somewhere. Far out, man. So we've got another satellite that's plummeting to Earth. And, you know, they call these things space probes, and maybe they do probe space, but when it comes to Earth, they don't care, man. They're coming straight at us. They'll burn us, man. They'll burn you down.
Yeah, man, but there ain't nothing probe about that.
No. Asked how easy it was to grab the shots with his telescopic system, Thierry told BBC News, the difficulty was very comparable to UARS. They had comparable speed, brightness, and size, except that I had to drive more than 800 kilometers to find clear skies in the French Riviera. Okay. The engineer has posted the video, and how he went about acquiring it is on his astrophotography website. These cats are all amateurs, you know. And
what's that mean?
It means they're not professionals. They're not professional astronomers. They're not professional scientists in any way. It could be that this guy does some other job, you know.
Well, what do you think he does?
I don't know. You have to look him up, you know.
You mean like he could be like working the liquor counter at Vaughn's?
Yeah, he could be working the liquor counter at Vaughn's, sure. Not that they have a Vaughn's in France, but it's comparable.
Yeah, well, it was comparable.
Yeah, maybe he works the liquor counter at the French supermarket. But when he goes home at night, he is Mr. Legault Astronomer. As it encounters more and more air, so its descent will accelerate. So this mass, this spacecraft's mass, which at launch was just over 13 tons, but some 10 tons of this was fuel, is expected to use in the course of its mission to the Red Planet. It was expected to use 10 tons of fuel in the course of its mission to the Red Planet. However, that's not the case. The propellants are highly toxic, but they will almost certainly be consumed in the fireball that engulfs Phobos Grunt when it makes its death dive to Earth. So they're worried, well, with all of this fuel, and this thing is plummeting toward Earth, you know.
It's going to blow something up.
No. What they're saying, and no, it won't blow anything up. What they're saying is it will be consumed in the fireball. So this thing's going to break apart. As it breaks apart, it's going through the atmosphere. It's incredibly high heat. It burns this thing up, and it will ignite the fuel as well. So if there's going to be a fireball, it'll be up in the sky someplace. We can expect the tanks to break up and release their contents. There will be a self-ignition of the UDMH, and if it does not all burn up, it will be so dispersed. There will not be a critical cut. Anyway, it's fine. Unless, of course, it lands on your house. Okay.
Yeah, good luck.
That's not very nice, bud. Anyway, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, produced by Phil Hendry and Dan Northcraft. And we're online at philhendryshow.com. Don't forget, we are on tomorrow night on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We will be on with our local Los Angeles show. So we certainly do hope that you guys join us for that. And then we'll see you on Monday night for the world-famous Phil Hendry Show when we are back at it. Until then, good night from all of us here, and a very pleasant weekend, folks. See you on the KFI show tonight.
Phil Hendry.